You've reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Please leave a trail of breadcrumbs after the tone.
Hi, Flora. This is Amy. I'm somebody who gets lost a lot, and I'm curious if having a natural sense of direction is a real thing. Is this an innate gift we're born with? Thank you very, very much.
Hello?
Hey, Amy, it's Flora from ELT.
Hi, Flora. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling with this. It's such a great question.
Thanks. I've pondered it for years and years as I've been wandering around different neighborhoods or grocery store aisles.
Like a Roomba in the corner bumping into the wall.
Yeah, well, I can sense objects in my way. But yeah, there's a lot of meandering.
You said in your message that you get lost a lot.
Yes, I do.
Well, how much is a lot?
Well, the full-blown losing my way tends to happen more if I'm on a trip.
Somewhere new.
Yeah, somewhere new. Let's just say that that's the case.
Is that not always the case?
No, it's not always the case. I mean, for instance, I needed to pick my husband up at the hospital the other day, and he just had a minor procedure, but he was in recovery, and I wanted to be there when he woke up. And I got into the parking lot, which I had been in three times earlier that day, and came in from a different direction, and suddenly it looked like a whole new city. So yeah, I do find myself saying, how did I get lost on this? I was just here. And, you know, that combination of I'm running late and I've gotten myself turned around in the parking lot results in that fight or flight panic. In fact, it's making my mouth dry and my hands sweat just to
let's move on.
That.
Okay, how can we help today, Amy? What do you want to know?
I'd like to know if some humans are born with a more innate sense of direction. For instance, a friend of mine went to France, to Normandy, with a family trip. She had an uncle who served in the war, and she said when she got there, like, she ended up sort of leading her group. And she had never been there. So yeah, some people just seem to have that built-in compass. And so I'm curious if others have a more sturdy compass, and if some of us just don't.
Amy, we found just the person to locate an answer for you.
I've been lost in my lost work for about 20 years.
This is Giuseppe Iaria.
Oh, hi, Amy.
Hi.
Giuseppe is a professor of cognitive neuroscience at the University of Calgary in Alberta. And he studies why people get lost. And he said that in his line of work, he meets a lot of people who are senseless when it comes to direction.
I'm sensitive about it, but not senseless.
So you wanted to know, are some people just naturally better at finding their way than others?
Mm-hmm.
So we asked Giuseppe about this, and he said...
Yes and no.
Okay, lay it on me.
Giuseppe says your sense of direction is steered by a lot of different factors, like how much practice you get, the strategies you use, the environment you're moving through, your age, but your genes also seem to play a role.
Oh,
definitely there is a genetic component that gives a predisposition to a certain development.
Do we know what genes are responsible for this predisposition?
I wish I knew. No, we don't. But we have a very good chance to find out about some of these genes, because about 10 years ago, we have described for the very first time a developmental condition that we term developmental topographical disorientation.
Developmental topographical disorientation, or DTD for short. Giuseppe says it affects about 2% of the population, and it seems to be heritable. There's some evidence that if someone has it, their child will have it too. And those with DTD are at the very, very far end of the navigational spectrum.
The problem is the inability to picture in their mind where things are around when they are not seeing those things. And so what happens is that every time they move around, it's like they're moving around for the very first time.
Okay, so say you're walking to your friend's house a couple of blocks away. If you had DTD, you would not be able to picture in your mind where your friend's house is in relation to your own, even if you go there all the time.
Those people with DTD, they will never be able to picture in their mind where things are. So this is something we refer to as a cognitive map, like a mental map.
Huh.
Think of the picture you keep in your head of, say, your neighborhood.
So a cognitive map of your neighborhood would be a mental map in your mind of where your apartment or your house is with respect to the coffee place, with respect to the bank, with respect to the office, with respect to any other elements where that is relevant for you to visit.
Okay.
Are you picturing it?
Sort of, yes. I guess when I think map, I'm in the map, moving through it. So I can like stop and look at my flowers. And then I would turn toward the little corner shop and some cars.
Cars.
And the sky is hopefully blue.
I like that the sky is on your mental map.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of, my head's on a pivot versus maybe looking straight ahead.
So the ability to draw this map in your mind is critical to navigating well.
And the reason why this is critical is because you don't need to remember how you will navigate in order to go from A to B, but you will picture in your mind what you're facing. So you're facing the pharmacy, so that's A. You need to go to the bank, that's B. So if you're able to picture in your mind where these two things are with respect to one another, then it doesn't matter where you are in the environment. You always be able to recognize a landmark and picture in your mind where you wanted to go.
Without that picture in your mind, you'd have to memorize every single step of any trip. Like, turn left out of the driveway, take a right at the corner, go two blocks, then turn left. And if you miss a turn or a road is closed, you're lost.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you go somewhere new, say you move or you go on vacation, you start to build that cognitive map. And you can get a sense of your sense of direction skill set by thinking about how long it took you to make that map in your mind.
So now for you, it might have taken like, I don't know, maybe a week to get a sense of where things are, right? For some other people, it may take a month, you know? Some people may be able just to be exposed once. Like, you know, in one day, some people will find out where things are around the new neighborhood where they actually just moved.
Interesting.
So sense of direction is a spectrum, and really good navigators can develop detailed cognitive maps super fast, kind of like your friend in France.
Yes, which seemed to me more magical than skilled, but I guess she's just absorbing all of those details and placing them in her map very clearly and quickly.
Right. It's not magic. It's a skill. And here's the good news for you and anybody else with sense of direction struggles. It's something that most people can get better at.
In theory, everyone can really practice and brings their knowledge, their expertise and their skills to a very, very exceptional level. It just takes time.
Oh, good.
In fact, intense practice is how some of the best navigators in the world got to where they are. Do you have any guesses about who I'm talking about?
Pirates.
That's probably true. Second guesses, also in the transportation industry.
Taxi drivers?
Boom.
The London taxi drivers, they are just phenomenal. They have to study the city. They have to spend a lot of time in trying to remember routes and paths, and they have to pass this test, which is very, very difficult. And so they are the ones that are really, really skilled. So definitely the London cab drivers are the best in terms of orientation and navigation I have known so far.
After the break, we'll hear what it takes to unlock London cabbie navigational skills.
Leave on left Green Lanes, right Highbury New Park, left Highbury Grove, right St Paul's Road, comply Highbury Corner, leave by Apple Street, right Barnsbury Street, left Milner Square, fourth Milner Place.
Giuseppe told us some of the best navigators in the world are London taxi drivers. So how do you become an SOD, a sensei of direction? What does it take to get that BDE, big direction energy? How many reps to rip those MMAs, mapmaker abilities? Amy, we asked an SOB, a son of Britain.
Hi, Amy.
Pip, pip. Hello. That was my British accent.
This is David Stiles. He's retired now, but he drove a London black cab for 22 years.
Oh, wow.
So I started in about 96 and retired 2 years ago.
Okay, so I'm going to send you a picture of one of these cabs because they're very cool looking. We'll put it on Spotify and Instagram too.
Did you just text that to me? Oh, here we go.
This is the model David started out driving when he first got his badge.
Huh. It's glam.
It's very charismatic. I don't know what a good reference is. Austin Powers?
Yeah, there's that sort of retro feel.
Yeah, they're cute.
There's a dashing element to it.
They're the ones all the Americans like. You know, they come over and they want a real cab, you know, and that's what they were like then. They were interesting. They seem to have a mind of their own that when you drove down the road, they would suddenly swerve in a different direction. Yeah, particularly when you've got a road narrowed, they suddenly take it into its head that it wanted to suddenly swerve left or right.
What an interesting trait for a vehicle.
It's rather curious.
So less charming for the driver.
Yeah, exactly. So what does it take to earn the honor of driving this junky jitney? You have to take a big test called the Knowledge of London, but everyone just calls it the Knowledge. And to pass, you have to memorize the entire city of London, front to back, 25,000 streets, 20,000 landmarks.
And I'll read the exact wording. It says all streets, housing estates, parks and open spaces, government offices and departments, diplomatic premises, town halls, registry offices, hospitals, places of worship, sports stadiums, leisure centres, airline offices, stations, hotels, clubs, theatres, cinemas, museums, art galleries, schools, colleges, university, police stations and headquarters buildings, civil, criminal and coroner's courts, prisons and places of interest to tourists.
Wow.
So how do you go about memorising an entire city? David said you begin with a list of starting points and destinations, and then you memorize the shortest route between them, down to every turn. These are called runs, and in David's time, he had to know 468 of them.
So inside page one, list one, is Manor House to Gibson Square. Not that anyone ever has wanted to go from Manor House to Gibson Square, but, you know, you have to know it all the same.
Do you remember it by any chance?
This one, yeah. It's leave on left Green Lanes, right Highbury New Park, left Highbury Grove, right St Paul's Road, comply Highbury Corner, leave by Apple Street, right Barnsbury Street, left Milner Square, Ford Milner Place, Gibson Square facing. Right, easy peasy. That's the first one. There's only another 460 what to do.
Oh my gosh. So for their exercises to do this, did they just constantly practice that visual map in their minds of those landmarks and the streets to absorb all of this?
He said it was more like something that clicked into place after a ton of driving around.
After you've done all those runs, you've built, in your mind's eye, you've built up a latticework of London. It's like a mental map. We have a saying called seeing it. You keep on doing these runs and then you suddenly think, oh, I've been here before, or I know this bit, and so on. And slowly you bring out layer upon layer upon layer. And then suddenly see the greater picture of the complex roads of London. You see it. You've got that map in your head.
And once you've got the map in your head, they test you on how strong it is by giving you all kinds of random routes. Like an examiner names two points anywhere in the city, and you have to say the fastest way to get between them.
Wow.
This is a tiny tangent, but I know you like to take this scenic route, Amy. So in David's time, the examiners also had all kinds of tactics to dial up the pressure.
One was, as you walk to his office, he'd suddenly slam a door in your face. Another one is, instead of the chair being in front of the desk, they'd put it at the other end of the room. He would then speak very softly, and you'd be straining to hear what he said.
I'm curious how many people drop out.
70%.
Drop out?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So it seems like you've got to have a certain amount of stick-to-itness.
For sure. David did. After studying and testing and testing, he finally passed almost 5 years after he started studying.
The entire time, it was 4 years, 10 months, and 13 days. That was the whole time.
I like how you know it down to the day.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget that one. Yeah.
What an accomplishment.
David had worked his way to becoming one of the best navigators in the world.
Yeah. So maybe I need to want it more.
Well, I was wondering, are you interested in learning some tips?
Sure.
Because even if you don't want to become, you know, David London black cab driver level navigator, there are baby steps you could take to develop your sense of direction. Giuseppe, our sense of direction researcher, had a suggestion.
Go with a friend in a new environment and look around for landmarks, a shop, a bank, anything that is kind of meaningful to you. So then you will be looking at these landmarks from different perspective. So you're facing the bank now. Then you turn right, go on that road, then turn back and look at the bank again, and then keep going. So you look back and forth so that you do two things. One, you can recognize the bank from a different perspective, the bank's building. And two, you practice the ability to keep track of where you are going and where things are while you move away from there.
Basically, if you pay attention to what's around you, you'll build this skill.
So it's a lot about being present. Yeah, that I could use some work on.
You can test your own navigational skills at Giuseppe's website, gettinglost.ca. And if you have a burning question you can't locate an answer to, give us a ring, 833-RING-ELT.
Every Little Thing is produced by Stephanie Werner, Emily Foreman, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Nicole Pasulka and Doug Barron. Our consulting editors are Caitlin Kenny and Jorge Just. Scored by Dara Hirsch, Bobby Lord, and Emma Munger. Mixed by Dara Hirsch. I found me. Goodbye.